Our reading for today comes from Mark chapter 1. We finished up the book of Luke in yesterday's reading. So now we're going to start with the book of Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." It seems like we don't reference the gospel of Mark nearly as often as we go to Matthew, Luke, or John. And so this will be a good reading for us to go through, but you'll notice that it starts off a little differently. You know, Matthew starts with a long genealogy and dealing, you know, with that aspect of the prophecies in order to prove Jesus to the Jews. But Mark skips very quickly through John the Baptist and gets right to Jesus and his ministry. And it's important that we realize that that's simply because Mark has a little bit different focus for his gospel, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with him taking a different focus and looking at different facts that occurred during the life of Jesus versus what other writers did. It doesn't mean that he's wrong versus Matthew, and it certainly doesn't mean Matthew's wrong versus Mark, but it means that they had that different focus and come at it from a different way. And that gives us some different perspectives to help us understand the whole of the life of Jesus a little bit better. So again, he moves pretty quickly. In 15 verses, we've covered what in other writings would be much, much longer. For example, Matthew spends almost the entire first chapter with genealogy, then covers the birth of Christ, the visit of the wise men, the flight to Egypt and Herod killing the children, and then the family coming back to Nazareth. Then by chapter 3, it's still dealing with John the Baptist, and then the baptism of Jesus. And then chapter 4, the first section is all on the temptation of Jesus, which Mark just basically spends 2 verses on. So Mark moves pretty quickly, but then he gets to where he's going. And 14 and 15 might be a good synopsis, or finally getting to where Mark is trying to get to, and he makes that explanation. After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. So it was at this point that John the Baptist is no longer out in front. He has moved to the side. He's been arrested. He's not out preaching anymore, but Jesus is. This is when Jesus comes and begins to proclaim the kingdom of God. And he states, "This time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel." He's still teaching repentance, but he's also going to be pointing to something else. John preached repentance and said somebody else is coming. Jesus preaches repentance and then says the kingdom is at hand. What you were looking for is here now. In our study with Isaiah on Wednesday nights, I have tried to pull to the forefront the prophecies of Jesus that are contained within there, and realize that the Old Testament being a tutor to bring us to Christ, that is what we're reading about right now. Finally, the tutor has brought them to Christ. So you have the prophecy about the various kingdoms and then the kingdom of God in the book of Daniel. You have all the prophecies in the book of Isaiah and all the hope that God was preaching to those that were the remnant at that point. You know, the point of, you know, the throne of David continuing despite the fact that they ended up in captivity and carried off and Jerusalem was pretty well destroyed, all these various things. All those prophecies lead you to the point that Mark has gotten to here within the first 15 verses of chapter 1. So all of what the Old Testament has dealt with and taught them and prophesied is now fulfilled at this time that Mark is talking about. It's a culminating moment. It's a pinnacle moment in which everything changes and the salvation of man is at hand. That is, the kingdom of God is at hand. The opportunity for that salvation and to be in the kingdom is there. Mark is going to begin presenting Jesus as the culmination of those things, as the King, as the Savior, as everything that God intended him to be. He's not part of something that's old. He's there to bring in something new. And by his death, he brings that new covenant under his reign as King and his place as High Priest for us, the intercessor to God the Father himself. In the book of Hebrews chapter 7, beginning in verse 23, it says, "The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, speaking of Jesus, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens." This is Jesus. This is the one we've been talking about, prophesied in the book of Isaiah. This is the one that all the Jews should have been waiting for. That's what Mark is going to begin proclaiming, and that's what his introduction is getting you to here in the first 15 verses. You know, there are so many descriptors about Jesus that are meant to teach us something about either his character or his role or both. You know, we have the Good Shepherd, the Lamb of God, the Savior, King, High Priest, all of those descriptions about him. Even John describing him as the light that has come into the world and the Word that was with God and was God. You know, all of those descriptors teach us something, but I think that at the same time, we tend to hone in on one or two of those and kind of lose sight of the others. For example, we think a lot about him being our Savior, especially since we partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week and remember the sacrifice that he made for our sins. And we can sometimes then lose sight of, you know, the role as King or the role as High Priest. So I think it's important that we look at him as a king, and does that change how we see him? Does that change how we feel or how we think about him? You know, Savior is sacrifice, but King is one who has the rule and the authority, and we need both. You know, we need Savior, we need King, we need High Priest, we need all of them. We need the Good Shepherd, we need all of these various aspects of what Jesus is doing. And I think it's important for us to think about each one individually from time to time in order to help us in seeing the role of Jesus and the value that he ought to have in our lives. You know, is Jesus the King of your life? Does he direct you? Does he guide you? Does he care for you? Is he the authority in your life? Do you follow his will? Are you obedient to him? Those are very important questions that we need to be able to answer. So our prayer for today then, I think, would be to recognize him in those various roles in our life. Maybe today would be a good day to focus on him being King. Is he King of my life? Pray that we might have faith in him and that we might submit our will to him, allowing him to truly reign within our lives. Thank you for listening today, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.